We're going to be starting a brand new series this morning, a four-week series that I've entitled The Quest for the Kingdom, The Quest of the Kingdom, and I'm very excited to share it with you. We're going to start this morning by really jumping into my childhood a little bit, which is always fun for me and a little bit boring for you, but one of the things I remember about growing up, when that happened in my life about 458 years ago, is that I remember on Friday nights was a family night for me growing up. And one of the things that we did, and I don't know if you've noticed this about me, but I'm very regimented. Everything has a place, everything in its place. I'm very much in traditions and things like that. Like if you do it once, watch out, we may have to do it for the rest of our lives kind of a situation. And one of the things that I grew up with was every Friday night was pizza and movie night. Now, I know at this point in time, that is a very easy thing to take place. You know, basically, in a lot of ways, you don't have to leave your house to do all of those things. But back in the 80s, you had to actually work a little bit to do this. Now, I know that pizza delivery existed at the time, but because I am, my parents, like I couldn't get my head around, neither could they, the idea of actually paying someone to bring you food. I know I live in a different planet now, according to how this works, but we wouldn't do that. So we would go out, my dad would go out, my mom would go out, and we would pick up the pizza, and not only pick up the pizza, but we had to go, okay, where are the young people? There they are. This is gonna your mind, okay? We would go to a very ancient location in time, okay? This was very exciting. It was kind of like now you can actually go and they have archaeological sites at these places, and we would go, and this was before even Blockbuster Video, okay? It was old school, okay? I think it was called National Video. And you would go and you would rent your video, yes, a VCR, okay? My dad would come walking in, videotapes under one arm, a suitcase in the other, and pizza. Because the VCR was too expensive for us to buy. We had to rent our VCR. So we would hook it all up. We'd get our pizza ready, and Mom and Dad would always usually rent a Disney type of old movie. And one of my favorites growing up to watch was a wonderful movie called Robin Hood. Loved Robin Hood. And it was foxes, and you know, and I could whistle that beginning thing when the rooster kind of whistles, and it will be in your mind for the rest of the day. I love you too much to do that. But some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we would watch Robin Hood. I used to love Robin Hood and all the fighting and the swords and the arrows and all the sort of stuff. I had to put up with the mushy stuff. But other than that, it was great. And if you know anything about the story of Robin Hood, at least the story that Disney tells, is the idea of basically there is a king that basically was in the land of England, basically. And he goes off on a crusade and basically evil Prince John comes and takes the throne. And because of Prince John and because of all that he is and all the things he does, he has a horrible, terrible sheriff of Nottingham. They tax the people. Things are horrible and miserable. It's not a good situation. And Robin Hood, of course, if you know anything about Robin Hood, he steals from the rich to give to the poor, that whole story and all those things. But there is an underlying theme in that story that maybe you haven't realized before. Maybe it's something that you have felt kind of in your spirit, but you haven't been able to quite put your finger on it yet. And here's the thing. I believe that in a lot of ways, you know, Jesus comes, he tells parables, he tells stories. We are kind of hardwired for stories. And there are certain stories that I believe are not created even by man, but literally created by God, that just kind of hit somewhere deep in our spirit because they resonate with us. They kind of push us towards not this earth, but the world to come. And in some ways, I think Robin Hood has that theme in it. Maybe you just didn't know it. Because in the idea of Robin Hood is basically this concept that one day, if we can hold out long enough, if we can fight hard enough, one day the true king will return. And when the true king returns, he will make all things right again. You see, when Jesus came the first time, he began to share during his ministry, and he began to share this idea of the kingdom of God. And he would talk about the kingdom of God. And he would talk about the kingdom of God is at hand, and it's coming, and it's soon. And it was one of those ideas in conflict, or one of those ideas that he would communicate. And so many people had conflict with that because they couldn't quite get their head around the idea of not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. In fact, even his disciples struggled with this. They constantly were talking about, when will your kingdom come now? What will our roles be in your kingdom today? When Jesus really came to do something a little bit different. You see, the idea here is this. During Jesus' first coming, the kingdom of God was inaugurated, but it will not be consummated until he returns. It started, it began, but it's not finished yet. And just like for some of us that watch Robin Hood and kind of can get ourselves into that character or into that individual that's longing for the king to return, for a lot of us, that is the same thing. We experience that tension in our hearts and in our lives because in some ways we long for that. We long for the kingdom of God to come and for the king to return. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you had that feeling in your heart, but you couldn't quite put words to it. In a lot of ways, that's the tension that we live in. We kind of have this sense that, you know what, things in our heart, things in this world just don't seem quite right. It's like we're Robin Hood or Maid Marian or whoever you want to imagine, living under the rule of a false king, living under the rule of a tyrant, living under the rule of just crazy, bad old Prince John. And we're longing for the day where the true king can return and make it right. And when you look at that story and you begin to dissect it, everything was kind of turned upside down. The people that should have been there, the sheriff to protect people, instead exploited people. Instead of there being, you know, excitement and joy in the land, there was chaos and confusion. All of that very much symbolizes and kind of shows us kind of almost where our world is today. And the tension that we live under is quite interesting as believers. You see, as believers, we kind of live in a foreign land with another king. You see, our lives are challenging at times because of that, because we live in the kingdom of this world while living under the reign of another. Do you ever think of it that way? You know, we have a different standard. When we take that understanding of believer as Christian, as follower of Jesus, yes, we accept the idea of salvation and Savior of Jesus, but there's also that other step of Lord, where we basically say, you know, listen, although we live in one kingdom, we follow the laws and the king of another. And there's a lot of times people don't understand that. There's a lot of times where that becomes a problem in our hearts and in our lives. Jesus in Matthew 13, and we're going to be in Matthew 13 throughout this series, begins to kind of tell some parables. He begins to tell some stories, and most of them kind of start with this idea or this concept. It basically will say something like this: the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. He's really trying to get us to understand that this world is not our home. We have a home that is far beyond this world with a kingdom and a king that is perfect. You see, a lot of times in Robin Hood, there's this thing, oh, if just King Lionheart comes back or King Richard comes back, boy, everything's going to be great. And here's the deal. King Richard may have been a lot better than King John, but he was still a person. He wasn't perfect. We serve a king of perfection. We serve a king whose plans are perfect for you and for me. And so we long for that. We look for that. But again, we're living in a kingdom with a different king, one that we do not serve, one that we do not heed. And because of that, there is tension. But really, to understand this in a simple way, we need to basically ask a very simple, easy question. What is a kingdom? What is a kingdom? Simply this, for this series, a kingdom is simply the realm you live in and what reign you live under. It is the realm you live in and the reign you live under. And so, again, there's a tension there. There's this idea here where, in a lot of ways, sometimes the people you come in contact with at Target or Walmart or in the mall or at work or at school or whatever, in a lot of ways, we live under different kings. And sometimes because of that, there's tension. Sometimes there's conflict because of those things. And so we have to figure some things out. And in a lot of ways, as Jesus enters into this concept and this idea here in Matthew 13 that we're going to be looking at over the next several weeks, he begins to try to answer some of those questions of what that looks like. This morning, I want to answer this type of question for you and for me. It's simply this: how do we, as citizens of the kingdom, keep our eyes fixed on the king with longing and hope until he returns? In a lot of ways, that's the question that we're going to be answering throughout this series. How do we, knowing that we are basically in this world, but not of this world, how do we live? How do we respond? How do we experience the kingdom today in a way that will change us and change those around us. Before we really jump in here to Matthew 13, let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day and this time. And Father, as we look at these things, God, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds to the things you want to communicate to us. God, you're so good and we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew 13. We're going to look at a story or a parable that, depending on your Bible, may be called different things. I like to call this the parable of the soils, because I do believe this is really what this is about. This is kind of, in a lot of ways, what Jesus is trying to communicate, and we'll kind of look a little bit deeper here in just a second. But again, if you have your Bibles, Matthew 13, we're going to look at verses 3 through verse number 8. This is what it says. He says, he, meaning Jesus, told many stories in the form of parables such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. He scattered them across his field. Some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have any deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And so in a lot of ways, this story that Jesus begins to tell, as he begins to kind of lead us into these stories or these parables about the kingdom, this is a good one, and it's an important first one, because in a lot of ways, this really deals with this idea of how we actually receive the kingdom. How we're actually, and here's the deal, part of this is twofold. One, of course, is the idea of basically salvation, when we receive the kingdom for the first time. But here's the thing you need to understand. Jesus didn't just come and said, basically, here you go, here, receive the kingdom, now I'll see you later until you get to heaven. There is constant things that God wants to download into your heart, if that makes sense. There's constant times that God is wanting to plant new things, to see new growth and new maturity in your heart and in your life. And here's what I found about me. Maybe you're different, but this is me. As we look at these stories of the soil, as we look at each one of these, each four of these different ones, here's what I found. There are some times in my life where I've been all four. Sometimes I'll go in and out of things in a very short amount of time. But in a lot of ways, Jesus is really beginning to help us to understand, how do we actually receive this stuff? How do we actually allow ourselves to be positioned to learn, grow, and become more like him throughout our journey as soil that is ready to accept the seeds that God wants to plant in our hearts? But before we really jump into that, we need to look at some symbols. Because obviously parables are full of different symbols, and we need to understand those so we understand the parable in a deeper way. So there's three symbols in this parable that we need to be aware of, okay? Three symbols, very quickly. Number one, we see the symbol of the farmer, or the symbol of the sower, basically. This symbol is represented a lot of times either by a couple of individuals. It could be God, it could be Jesus, it could be the Holy Spirit, but it could also be anyone who is sharing the gospel or the good news. So in a lot of ways, sometimes, and this is a wonderful thing to think about, you're the sower, you're the farmer. When you share your faith, when you begin to share life with individuals and you experience those things, you in a lot of ways are kind of like that. You're a farmer. You're sharing those things. You're doing the things that God would want you to do. And as followers of Jesus, that should be pretty clear, that we would do the things he does. So the farmer could be God, Jesus, or ourselves. Next, we see the symbol of the seed, the symbol of the seed. The seed here is really just kind of the idea of the message of the kingdom. It's the good news. And in fact, in Matthew 13, 19, Jesus really spells that out for us. And what's great about this parable, it's a great one to start off with, because basically, later on, we'll see this in a minute, basically the disciples, they hear this story and they go, wow, Jesus, that was a great story, man. That was awesome, but I didn't get that at all. And so Jesus comes in his loving way, says, let me explain it to you. And so he talks about this idea of the seed being the message of the kingdom or the good news or the gospel. The last thing we see is the symbol of the soils. And in this story, obviously, we see four different soils. We see, and we'll kind of get into those in just a minute. And those really are not obviously talking about the dirt outside, but they're actually talking about our heart inside. Jesus is expressing this in an interesting way. So here's the deal. Here's what you and I need to understand as we jump into this idea and this concept, looking at these symbols. The condition of our soil, or the hearts, determine our reception of the kingdom. Okay? Now, here's again, I want to say this again because sometimes I think people can miss this, okay? When I talk about the reception of the kingdom, yes, there is that first reception, okay? You know, when we were younger, you know, we asked Jesus into our hearts, you know what I mean, okay? We made Jesus Lord and Savior of our hearts. That was one reception, okay? But there's more that God wants to put into your heart, okay? Don't forget that, okay? One of the things that we want to remember is that God wants us to grow and mature. And so there's different seasons and things like that, but this is for all of us. We have to understand that. So it's this idea that Jesus is trying to get across to us about the condition of our hearts. Because here's the deal. There are times, and maybe you'll acknowledge this in your own life, where like somebody will share something, and man, I am just so receptive to it. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right, man. I'm missing the mark here. I need to do better here. I need to figure this out here. Or even maybe a positive or a kind word, you know, and I'll accept that and let that reception kind of come into my heart and do those things. And then there are other times I'm like, I am not interested. So we can change. Our soil, unfortunately, can, and maybe fortunately, depending on our soil condition, can actually be cultivated and changed. So this morning, as we continue, I want to look at each of these soils or each of these heart conditions in a little bit more depth, okay? And again, I've already admitted, I've been all four of these at times, okay? I'm not going to tell you necessarily which one I'm the most of, but I've been all four. The first one he talks about is this idea of the hardened soil or the hardened heart. He talks about it again in Matthew 13, 19. As he begins to explain these things, his disciples have come to him and says, man, I don't get it. Help me understand. This is Jesus' response that we're going to look at in these scriptures in Matthew, a little bit later in Matthew 13. He says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. In a lot of ways, we talk about the footpath or what Jesus was really kind of getting people to understand is obviously at this time, there's no cement. Well, there is, but they don't use it very often, okay? So there's not this idea of a sidewalk or those sides. It's just a path that has been worked into the ground. Some of you have dogs in your backyard, and I don't know about this because I've seen this before where a dog will just kind of get on a path. And so they know, okay, well, if I go from the front door to this area around the house, I go this way. And they literally wear it down so much where there's no more grass. It's literally now just dirt. And it's hard and it's compact. And they walk on it when it's muddy and it gets more compact. And then it rains and they walk on it again. And it gets harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. So where even now, if you decide, hey, I don't want that footpath there, I think I'm going to plant some grass seed over it. Listen, if you throw that grass seed on that hard path, nothing's going to grow. In fact, basically, depending on like if you're like my backyard, the squirrels are going to come or the birds are going to come and they're going to eat all the seeds. That's what Jesus was basically communicating. The only way that you're going to make that work is you have to till the ground. You have to get down in the dirt. You have to dig it up. You have to use a rotary or whatever and break that dirt up so it can really be able to accept what's being given to it. In a lot of ways, when Jesus talks about the hardened heart, he's talking about a heart that's become hard. It's become packed down, maybe because of life or different situations or circumstances that you've faced. And you look at your heart and you go, you know what? Man, it can be hard at times. Here's what I found too. Sometimes it may be hard to a certain person or to a certain situation. Maybe like kind of we talked about over the last several weeks before we jumped into this message where basically something has kind of triggered us or something came about that really became a pothole in our lives. And because of that, maybe we're okay in certain areas, but there's certain areas of our heart where if you know you walk down that path and God begins to try to put something there or help you to grow in that area, it basically just hits that hard rock and just bounces off. And then the enemy will come and he'll take those seeds away and you'll miss what God truly wants to do inside of your heart. You know, when a lot of times when we look at that hardened heart, it can be because we don't really truly, like the scripture says, understand what God is doing. Because here's typically what we do. We have a situation where we go, okay, I want outcome A to take place. It doesn't matter what outcome A is. Or what the situation is, it's just, this is what we want. We pray, God, I want outcome A. Outcome A would be wonderful. Outcome A would be exactly what I want. Outcome A would make me happy. Outcome A would do all these sort of things. And God says, thank you for sharing that you want outcome A. But in my love, my grace, my mercy, I'm giving you outcome B. And man, we don't understand that. We don't get it in the temporal. We start to go, God, but why? Outcome A was so much better. Outcome A was exactly what I wanted. Why in the world? I don't understand, God, why you just didn't do what I wanted. And we don't understand the situations, and our hearts can get hard. Our hearts can be, God, you don't love me. God, you don't care for me. God, you don't really want what's best for me, when God really is doing exactly that. But because we don't always understand, listen, the ways of the kingdom that we live in yet, we can let our hearts become hard, and we can miss what God truly wants to do in us and through us. In fact, in Hebrews 3:15, the writer of Hebrews shares this with us. He says, remember what it says. Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Sometimes when you're hearing something or the seeds are being planted, it is so easy to say things like this. Aaron, you don't understand. Aaron, you don't know my pain. Aaron, you don't understand the things I've been through. And you are exactly right. I don't. But God does. Don't harden your heart. Don't miss what he desires to do in you and through you. Because sometimes you don't always understand the whole picture. You don't understand how this domino needs to fall to actually get to that domino way down there to accomplish the things that God wants to do. Don't harden your heart. Don't let your heart, don't let your soil become hardened to the things that God truly wants to do. The next, Jesus talks about this idea of the shallow heart. He talks about a shallow heart. Look at Matthew 13, look at verses 20 through 21. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems. And this is interesting. They have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Now, Michelle, would you just keep that up there for me, okay? Because I want to explain this a little bit. So what Jesus is communicating here is this kind of this idea of kind of a rocky place, where basically, you know, you've seen this happen before, where kind of soil kind of gets in between the rocks, and basically there is actually room for something to grow in that area. We've all seen it. Usually it's with weeds, you know, but we see that. And basically there's a little bit of topsoil that's basically just been trapped, basically, or it even gets down in below the rocks, and basically the seed kind of falls just perfectly through that. So Jesus is basically talking kind of about those things. So here's what we see in this. There is growth. There's this immediate, like, oh my goodness, boy, this is wonderful. This is exciting. God, I'm so excited about what you're doing in my heart, in my life. I'm so excited that you saved me. I'm so excited that you're working through me. All these sort of things. So Jesus says, man, when that first growth happens, man, there's joy, there's excitement. But then some stuff starts to happen that doesn't maybe go the way we think it should. Listen to what Jesus says. He's very specific here. He says they don't last long. And he says they don't last long because in a lot of ways they have problems. That's the first thing. They have problems. Guess what? I think that we could all be real honest with each other. Don't raise your hand because I know everyone's hand's going to go up. But you got problems because I got problems. I think everybody's got problems. This is not something that is totally or should be surprising for us as human beings. Jesus even said, he says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have issues. You're going to have problems. That's pretty normal. But because of that, because sometimes we have this unrealistic and quite honestly unbiblical idea that when we give our hearts to Jesus, everything's going to be perfect, when Jesus is the exact opposite. That when problems come, when troubles come, when persecution come, we kind of look at God and go, God, like seriously, what are you doing about this? And we get upset. We get frustrated. Problems come. But listen, he goes a little bit further. He says, or are persecuted for believing God's word. Hey, if you haven't noticed, that's here now. I know I've spoken to several of you who in some way, shape, or form have been persecuted because you have decided that God's word is truth and you'll stand on it. And that's awesome. But listen, there are some people that because their roots don't go very deep, when they kind of deal with any type of pushback or any type of discussion or any type of disagreement, they literally do what it says here. they wither away. That's what Jesus said. Listen, let me just be honest with you, okay? Okay, this sounds weird. I've read the end of the book. I know how this is going to go. Now, I may not understand it perfectly, but I understand enough to tell you this with complete confidence. It's not going to get better for a while. Okay? It's going to get better. It's going to be unbelievable. But we're not there yet. Okay? I love the verse where it talks about where there's going to be a day where basically the swords and the spears are going to be broken up and used as plows. But that day isn't here yet. This is coming in a greater way than we've ever seen it before. And I'm going to tell you right now, you will not survive if your roots aren't deep. You just won't. I love you too much to not tell you that. You got to grow. You got to let those roots get deep because this is coming. It's already here in some ways. And so Jesus is telling us, listen, don't have a shallow heart. Don't have a shallow heart. The third one he looks at is the idea of a crowded heart. Look at Matthew 13, 22. He says this, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. I love that Jesus here, because I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, really spells this stuff out for me. Because he's basically like, listen, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to choke you out. I'm going to tell you exactly what crowds out your heart. He says the worries of this life and the wealth of this life. He's very clear on this. He says what will crowd your heart, what will choke the life out of you are those two things. Those two things will come and will literally destroy your growth, will destroy everything that God is trying to do in you. You see, here's the deal. The worries and the wealth of this life are distracting a lot of us from living under the rule of Jesus. And I think it's important that sometimes we take a moment, take a pause and ask the Holy Spirit, listen, how am I doing in this area? Okay? Because listen, I mean this as lovely as I possibly can, okay? I come from a long line of worriers. Maybe you do too. I had a grandma that is with Jesus now, and so she's smiling, she's doing good, so don't think I'm like ratting on her, you know? Okay? She's good. But she used to look at me, and I told you this before, I'd be outside, in the Missouri humidity, Missouri summer, 95 degrees outside with a 98% humidity playing baseball because that's what you just did at the time, And grandma would say, oh, don't you want to come? Hon, it's just so hot. I didn't understand that. Like, why, grandma? I think she was worried I was going to fall over or something, Heat exhaustion. She was a worrier. I come by it naturally. Maybe you do too. But I found in my life, worry can rob me so quickly. Maybe it's the wealth of this life. Maybe you are so infatuated or focused in on making sure you can take care of yourself. Can I help you out with something? Biblically speaking, you were never created to take care of yourself. You know that, right? Like God didn't like form us, put us in the garden and say, now you can handle this. Everything in my life has shown me that I can't handle anything without God. Anything. If I say, God, I think I got this little section. Yes, I need help with the preaching. Yes, I need help as a pastor. But you know what? I'm a pretty good guy. I think I can handle being a dad. I got this guy. Listen, when I try to be a dad without God, I mess it up. I need him for everything. And here's the deal. You need to get this. That is not a birth defect. That is how God created you and me, to lean on him and allow our relationship to grow and flourish. It's okay that you can't do it all. You weren't created to do it all. And so you think, if I can just get enough of this or enough of that. Listen, wealth is not simply money, folks. It's, boy, if I can just get this type of relationship or if I can just get this type of situation or if I can get this type of a feeling, then it will be enough. And when we run after those things, our hearts can be so crowded that we will miss a lot of times how God wants us to live. The last the last one that he talks about is the fruitful heart. The fruitful heart. Let's look at what he says here. Matthew 13, 23. It says, the seed that fell on good soil or a good heart represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as been planted. Okay, Michelle, leave that one up there. Let's look at this one. Because this one also, Jesus is really helping us here, okay? So basically, he says, okay, the seed that falls on the good soil, okay, the good heart, okay, it's going to produce something, okay? But how does that really happen? He says, the seed that represents that, because here's the deal, here's what I found. You can have a good heart with bad seed. So what's in this concept here to see that growth, to see those fruitful hearts mature? What kind of seed, what kind of message do we need to hear? What kind of message do we need to understand? He says, it's those that truly hear, okay? Truly hear, okay? Listen, you can hear what I'm saying this morning and totally miss what I'm trying to communicate. You realize that? Okay, we talk a lot of times about our eyes and how we can kind of put on lenses over our eyes, can't we? You know, so like you go outside today, it's sunny, you put on your sunglasses and you see the world and it looks different because of the lenses that you put on. You realize that you can do that with your ears as well? It's interesting that Jesus, when he would talk about things, he would say things like, those who have ears and eyes, let them see and hear. We put lenses over our ears at times. There are certain things that we don't like or we don't understand. And so when we see those things or those things are communicated, we don't like them. And so we kind of put those blockers over our ears. When Easton was a really young kid, he hated fireworks, which is not acceptable because he's born on the 4th of July. I used to tell him all the time, son, you're going to have to get used to these things. This is it. I mean, this is how it works. And so he didn't like them. And so we went out and we bought him some of these, you know, these like headphones. They were the cutest little things. They had a little headband that he would wear. And this is when he's real young, okay? So, and he put these little things over his ears and he'd just look around, you know. Couldn't hear a thing, you know. He'd watch it. You know, he'd feel the percussion, but he wouldn't hear those things. And listen, sometimes spiritually speaking, there are times there's things we don't understand. There's things that scare us. And so what do? We run and go, I don't like this. I don't understand this. And we grab and we go, this is okay. And Jesus is saying, listen, to truly hear, you're going to have to take those off. You're going to have to understand that there may be some things you don't understand. There may be some things where God's real clear about this. He said, my ways are higher than your ways. Don't. Put your earmuffs on, especially with the stuff that's hard, the stuff you don't always understand. So he says, you got to truly hear, and then you have to understand God's word, okay? I've mentioned this multiple times. I'll mention it multiple more. If all you hear about the kingdom is what you hear on a Sunday morning, that's not enough. It's not enough. You are not going to understand enough. You need to open your Bible. There are so many tools. There's so many ways that you can do this and study and look and understand. Listen, I'm not asking you to go learn Greek. You know why? Because you can go online and you can put in, what does this word mean in the Greek? And you can find the depth of God's word. You can understand it in a deeper way. And listen, don't give me this, well, you know, I've only been saved about 5 years, so I really don't think I'm really ready. Yes, you are. Start to move deeper into God's word. Understand God's word. Because here's the deal. When you understand it a little bit more, you're going to take care of a lot of the earlier soil that God said you need to be aware of. Because one of the things that we talked about that Jesus specifically mentions, check this out, about the hard heart, is you don't understand. The more you understand, check it, hear it, get it, the less opportunity you'll have to have a hard heart. Okay, I love that Jesus makes this simple for people like me. Because here's the deal. A lot of times, my heart gets hard because I don't understand. When God's word is there to help you to understand. And then when you understand and the truth is proclaimed, listen, you see growth. It says 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. You ever think, why didn't Jesus just say 100 times? Why does he say 30? Why does he say 60? Why does he say 100? Why in other parables, like the parable of the talent, does he talk about how this person made this amount and then this person made this amount? Don't we all make the same? Nope. But that's not the point. You see, what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is the point is not the measure, but there is maturity. That's the point. You see, we'll get so wrapped up into comparing who's got 30, who's got 60, who's got 100. And Jesus is like, stop it. That's not the point. The point is, are you growing? Is there maturity in your life? Have you allowed that good seed to hit? Have you received those things? And are you seeing the growth inside of you? Because here's what I found. When you get so infatuated and focused in on everybody else's fruit, you're going to do a pretty poor job of producing it on your own. Because now all of a sudden you're worried about whose lines are straight, how are they watering their plants, and so on and so forth, and yours are over here dying. It's important that we get that. So Jesus here is expressing this idea about this fruit that should be something a part of all of our lives. So we have to ask ourselves a question. I mean, it's a simple question that we all have to ask ourselves. What fruitfulness has there been in your life that would give true evidence of your kingdom citizenship? Because remember, part of this first kind of reception of the kingdom is when we've accepted Jesus. So as followers of Jesus now, that's great. But now our hearts are still going to be looked at. They're still going to be used by him. And so if we are producing fruit, wouldn't that be an obvious evidence of that we are part of the kingdom? Of course it would. So you say, okay, well, that's great. I don't know for sure if I am producing fruit. I mean, some things, maybe you go, okay, yeah, I can see that, but how does that even look like? You see, here's the deal. Fruit in the kingdom manifests itself in three ways, okay? So you can check these off, write this down, look at your life after service or tomorrow or whatever, later today, and ask yourself these questions. Am I seeing it in these areas? The first one is internal fruit. You see, that's what Jesus does inside of us, right? Okay? That's Jesus transforming us from the inside out. Our heart is different, okay? So that's the internal fruit that God wants to do. And so basically, our heart is softened. Our heart is more moldable. Our heart is ready to accept the things of God. In a lot of ways, that's the internal fruit. But also, there's external fruit. Okay, this is basically how we live on the outside. Because our heart has been changed, now our lives are going to be different. Our priorities are going to be different. What's important to us needs to be different. That's part of this, you know? I mean, I used to joke about this all the time. I've said this probably before. As a youth pastor for a long time, I remember, like, you know, sometimes it's not easy to see fruit in a 14-year-old. Sometimes that's challenging. Because, you know, as a pastor, you know, I mean, one of the joys that you have a lot of times is when you see people growing, you know, when you're able to go, wow, this is wonderful. Well, how do you do that with a, you know, 14-year-old boy? Well, sometimes it's not always easy. I used to joke and say, you know, growth sometimes in that area means, you know, I come to youth and basically there's a fight and basically instead of punching the guy out, which he would have done last week, he just cussed him out. Growth! Just a little bit, but growth. You see, some of us get so focused, you know, on these things, like, I got to take these steps, you know. Sometimes God says, it's okay just to kind of just take a little bit at a time. But it's that external fruit. And here's the deal. If you're producing internal fruit, you will be then producing external fruit, which then will produce the last thing, which is eternal fruit. Eternal fruit. These are the things that God basically says, Jesus says, listen, don't store up treasures here on this earth. He says, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust and decay and all those things get. He says, get them, put them in heaven. Put them in heaven. And here's the thing about that. Here's the thing I think we need to understand, because sometimes we can miss this, okay? This order was put there on purpose by me. You see, some of us, we want eternal fruit without internal or external fruit, and it doesn't work that way.
Okay?
It won't work that way very well. What God does, and in God's place, and in God's situation, in God's steps, is basically he changes us from the inside out. Because he changes us from the inside out, it obviously comes out in the way we live. And then comes out in our priorities and the things that matter to us. And because our priorities are not on ourselves, all of a sudden the fruit that we begin to produce is not fruit that necessarily is always seen on this earth, recognized on this earth, but it always is in heaven. You see, sometimes we'll do things. Here's sometimes how this works, okay? I think hopefully we've all been here. We're tired. We had a long week. And then all of a sudden, maybe there's a text message or there's a phone call or there's an email. And basically, there's someone that reaches out and basically says, you know, I'm kind of going through something. Do you have a couple minutes? And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when the week has been long and it's been tired, you know what? I want to go, no, I don't have a couple minutes. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm spent. I don't want to deal with somebody else. I want to focus in on me. I think we're all sometimes there. But then sometimes that internal fruit begins to come. And I realize, you know what? It's not about me. It's not about the situations that I'm necessarily facing. You know what? I'm supposed to serve God first, and then I'm supposed to serve others. So you know what, God, because you have done such a life change in me, you know what, and you've transformed my heart, you know what, now all of a sudden I'm going to reach out. I'm going to do that external thing because of what God has done inside of me. So now my external thing is to reach out and to basically say, how can I be there for you? How can I pray for you? What do you need? How can I be a pillar for you in your life or whatever it is? And guess what? When that takes place, guess what? God begins to say, you know what? Oh, treasures in heaven. More and more, because you're caring about basically those people more than yourself. You're being like Jesus. And for some of us, we need to get that. And so the question is quite simple. This is a pretty easy, simple message. I'm trying to make it real easy this morning. How do we get that kind of fruit? How do we get that kind of fruit in my life? Because I want that fruit. In a lot of ways, how do we allow the inward transformation to really kick into overdrive? Well, there's just three things quickly. Number one, you need to stay connected to Jesus. Okay, this is the obvious one. This is the one that we all know, and even in a verse that we all know, John 15. He says this, John 15, 5, okay, it says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, okay? So there's two parts of this scripture that sometimes we miss, okay? We like the part about staying connected to Jesus and much fruit, but Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, listen, when you disconnect, you'll stop producing fruit, okay? It's real simple, okay? Are you producing fruit? If the answer is yes, then you are somehow connected to Jesus. You're abiding in him, as some translations say. If you look at your life and you go, you know what? I'm not producing the fruit that maybe I need to, start here. Are you abiding in Jesus? Are you hanging out with him? Are you spending time with him? Are you allowing him to transform your heart? Or is your heart too hard, too shallow, or too crowded? You see how this is? Listen, I know I've said this before. Jesus is brilliant. You see how this is all working together? You see, sometimes we just sometimes we need to look at this and go, oh, I get it now, because if I'm doing this, then this is going to happen. If I'm not doing this, then I need to go back here and reconnect so that Jesus can transform my heart again. And if my heart is hard or crowded or shallow, there's not any room for it to grow. And so therefore, there's the problem. There's the issue. So we stay connected to Jesus, okay? That's the first one. Number two, we listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, okay? We listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Lord wants to speak to all of us. The question is, are we listening? Okay? Sometimes we'll have that moment where basically the Spirit is speaking, but we just aren't willing to listen. Look at John 16, 13. It says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Okay? He'll guide you. Let him guide you. Okay? Because here's the deal. He knows where he's going, he knows where he's taking you, and you don't. So allow him to do that. Sometimes it'll be maybe at work and you got something going on and you're busy, and maybe the Holy Spirit will just speak to your heart and say, hey, listen, just go talk to Jeff. I'm not asking you necessarily to take him down the Romans road of salvation. Just see how his day is. And listen, in that moment, you have an opportunity to either let the guide guide you, or you can do it your own thing or your own way. And a lot of times, listen, I cannot tell you how many times fruit has been produced when I heard the Spirit of God and did what the Spirit of God said. Listen to him. Let him guide you. And listen, when you are connected to Jesus and you let the Spirit guide you, you're going to be able to produce a lot of fruit. But here's the last one, and this one is just as important. All fits together here. Number three, harvest carefully yourself. Harvest carefully yourself. This kind of goes a little bit into number two, because here's the deal. Although a lot of fruit is all based on what God is going to do in you and through you, you still have to make the choice to allow it to happen. You have to be the person that basically comes and says, you know what, God, I want to produce a lot of fruit. I want to be used by you. I want to be able to hear your voice and obey what it says. I want to follow you and be able to do all those things. The fruit will be produced because God will produce it in your heart. But you have to be the one that says, basically, I'm willing to get my hands dirty. Because I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of believers and there's a lot of Christians who want to hear God's voice. They want to be connected to Jesus, but they're not willing to get their hands dirty. And therefore, they're not producing the fruit that God really wants them to produce. Okay? Listen, I'm not a farmer, I'm not a planter, I don't do flowers, I don't do fruit, I don't do vegetables, I don't do any of that, okay? But I know this, if you do, and you did it, and you got them prepared, your hands got dirty. You cannot plant fruit, you cannot plant vegetables, you can't plant flowers, and not get your hands a little dirty. And for some of us, you need to stop worrying so much about our hands getting dirty and getting our hands in the dirt with people and allowing fruit to be produced in their lives. Because here's the thing. Both spiritually and physically, our rabbi had some pretty dirty hands. And if our hands are pristine, listen, you need to get this. They're more like Pharisee hands than carpenter ones. Spiritually speaking, are your hands filthy? Or are they clean? What do your hands look like? Because Jesus' hands, not only were they dirty, but they were ultimately scarred for you and for me. And it's something that we need to understand. Look at Joshua 24:15. Says this. Choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. When I say harvest carefully yourself, I mean choose. Choose to allow God to use you. Choose to be a citizen of the kingdom in one that, although we are not there yet, although it's been started, but it's not been finished, that our hearts represent a reception in a way that there is complete and obvious citizenship and allegiance to another king. You see, the bottom line is this. We need to make the decision every day to live as kingdom citizens. Every day. Just do me a favor. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's close. Let's focus here. So I got a quick question. What does your heart look like? What's your soil look like? Because, and again, I mentioned this earlier, a lot of times my heart kind of varies. And I'm not going to tell you which, you know, soil I most represent. But there's definitely been times in my life where I've had some good soil and I've seen some great fruit. But there's other times where I've had a shallow soil and I've had some hard soil. I mean, I've had them all. And I think sometimes what we need to understand is God will bring messages like this and parables like this to kind of make us all have a timeout, you know, and not like a timeout like you're in trouble, like when we were five, but a timeout like in a sports game, okay? Because here's the thing. You know, like let's use football for an example. You know, things are going around, or maybe the clock is ticking, or whatever. Or maybe, you know, this happens sometimes where the play didn't get quite in quick enough, okay? And so there's going to be a penalty, and so the coach or the quarterback or whoever will call a timeout just to take a moment and stop. You know, you've seen that a lot. You know, the play didn't come in quick enough, or there's a little confusion. And so they'll call timeout. And during that timeout, they'll kind of huddle up, usually the quarterback and the coach and the offensive coordinator or whatever it might be, and they'll kind of discuss, okay, what's going on, what's the right play, and that way we can execute it. So they'll have that discussion, they'll have that moment where the action on the field has stopped so that they can make sure everybody's on the same page. This morning, when it comes to our hearts, when it comes to the soil, when it comes to the reception of the kingdom, I think that's what God is doing. He's simply saying to the Holy Spirit, time out. Let's look at this together. Let's make sure we're all on the same page. Because here's what I found. Here's the thing about this message and this parable that I think is very easy to miss. If we're not aware of our heart or soil condition, we can sometimes misunderstand why we're struggling so much or doing so well accepting the things of the kingdom. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes we'll just let things kind of happen and we'll kind of miss, you know, it's like, you know, we'll go, well, I'm not growing, I'm not experiencing, God, it feels like you're 100 miles away or whatever else. And God will sometimes say, okay, listen, time out. Let's look at your soil. Let's look at your heart. Is it because you're feeling that way because your heart has become hard? Because there's been things you haven't understood? Maybe you thought I would do something and I didn't, or you thought I'd do it this way and I did it my way and you didn't understand. And so because of that, you let your heart get hard. Because you thought I should protect you from this and I didn't, or this person shouldn't have gotten sick and they did, or whatever it might be, you've allowed your heart to get hard. Time out. Let's look at it. Maybe it's because you got a crowded heart. You know, you get so focused in on worries or the world or wealth or whatever else, and you just feel that God's not doing much inside of you. Maybe God just said, all right, time out. Time out. Let's look at your heart. Let's is it crowded? Maybe it's shallow. Maybe it's a shallow heart. Maybe there was some growth early, but now trials and problems and situations have come, and because of that, you know, you're kind of just kind of barely making it, barely getting by. All right, time out. Let's look at your heart. This morning, maybe you got a fruitful heart, and that's awesome. But maybe even with us or with you, God wants to say, all right, time out. How do we keep it? How do we produce much fruit? Wherever you are this morning, let's take a time out. Let's let God, let's let the Holy Spirit look at our soil. Like, look deep. Because in a lot of ways, as we have this quest for the kingdom, if our soil or our heart isn't prepared, we're really going to struggle with week 2, 3, and 4. Okay? This is an important first step. And it's a step that, quite honestly, if you do it this morning, okay, that's awesome, but you're probably going to need to do it maybe even tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe every other day, but there's going to be a lot of timeouts in your life, and that's okay. God loves you. That's why God calls timeouts. It's because he wants to put it all in order so that you can fulfill the purpose that he gave you in your heart and your life to produce a lot of fruit for him. So for some of you, even right now, God's speaking. For some of you, you've allowed God to hit that time out and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to look deep. So it's just real simple. What is your heart condition this morning? Is it hard? Is it shallow? Is it crowded? Or is it fruitful? And no matter where it is, you go, well, Aaron, it's one of those ones that aren't, you know, not really as good. You know what? There's forgiveness. There's grace. There's love. Because God disciplines those he loves. So welcome that. Let him transform your heart again. One of the great things about being a believer and following Jesus is not that just that we get a new heart at salvation. It's that we get a new heart whenever we ask for it. And he purifies our heart. He takes our sin that's like scarlet, makes it as white as snow. All of those things are a sign of his love and a sign, listen, a sign of your sonship and daughtership. So open your hearts. Don't have a hard heart, a shallow or a crowded one. Open your heart to him and allow him to transform you again. Because here's the deal. You and I, one of the things that Jesus did all the time, listen, this is so important, is he invited people to come and be a part of his kingdom. You were never created to be under Prince John. You were never created to live under the yoke of the Sheriff of Nottingham. You were created to live under the kingship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is perfect in all his ways. Come be a citizen in his kingdom and allow him to transform your heart this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day. God, we thank you that you love us so much that you will call those timeouts in our hearts and our lives and say, listen, let's look at your soil. Let's look at your heart. Maybe there's some areas that need to be dealt with. Maybe there's some areas that need to be figured out a little bit. Maybe we become a little hard or a little shallow or a little crowded. When God, you say, listen, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be used by me in major ways. And so, Father, I pray for me personally, and for everybody here, God, I pray that during this moment, you would reveal where our hearts truly are. God, don't let us live with pride. Don't let us live with, you know, I sure am glad somebody else is here this morning to hear this type of an attitude. Help us to look at our own hearts and allow you, through your Holy Spirit, to shine that kind of spotlight on it so that you once again can make our hearts soft in your hands. Pliable in your hands, usable in your hands. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness in this area. You're so good. We love you so much. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen, I know there's a lot going on this week, okay? But I want to make you aware, remember youth tonight, prayer on Wednesday, the last ladies book club for the semester is on Thursday, community group for the 24th. I mean, there's a lot, so I want to make sure you're aware of it. So please, if you are available, we'd love to have you be a part of those things. Have a great week. I love you so much. We'll talk to you soon.